Praise the Lord, church. I am happy to be with you today. We are continuing our sermon series on the upside down kingdom. We are in the upside down kingdom. We've explained it already on many weeks. Many of you are familiar with the concept. Why the upside down kingdom? Because in Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus' longest discourse in the Bible, which is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is getting us to understand that the greatest in the kingdom of Christ is our servants. Servants at that time of antiquity would have been on the bottom of the kingdom, but in Christ's kingdom, and what he's explaining to us right here in this passage, is that in the kingdom of Christ, it is an upside down kingdom where the greatest of us are servants. So he is encouraging us to seek to serve one another and seek to serve Christ and not focus in on gaining and getting. So today we're going to focus our attention on our passage. On our passage today, okay, we have sound now? Okay, we are back. Sorry about that. Okay, we're talking about the upside down kingdom. We're still in the series of upside down kingdom. We're talking about the greatest of us are servants, and Jesus is sharing and laying out the details on what that means to be be a servant in the upside down kingdom, in the kingdom of Christ. Are we truly servants? Are we truly seeking to serve one another? Are we truly seeking with a servant's heart, seeking to love one another above ourselves, and not just seeking to gain and to get, but seeking to give and seeking to love and to sacrifice? So this is what Jesus is talking about. This week we will be focusing in on our attention on Matthew 6, 19 through 24. That's Matthew 6, 19 through 24. In our sermon entitled A Kingdom Focus, A Kingdom Focus. So we're going to talk about being focused today. Now, many of you may have noticed that around my neck I have binoculars, and they are apparently attached to my mic right now. So binoculars, does anyone know what binoculars are for? I mean, you can answer. I can't hear you, so it doesn't really matter. But binoculars help you see something far away. You know, the thing that you're looking at, the thing is that when you're looking at something with binoculars, you can often see the thing that you're looking at without the binoculars. You can only see that thing from distance. But the binoculars help you focus on the thing that you're looking at. They zero in on the thing to make it look bigger from a distance. So that you can see it better and focus upon it better. See, Jesus is going to challenge us to consider this question. Where is your focus? Where is your focus? In regards to your faith, in regards to your life, where is your focus? See, Jesus is talking specifically about two types of things in particular in this particular passage: possessions and the things of God. As we know, Jesus is continuing his Sermon on the Mount, and he is showing us how a genuine follower of God is supposed to live. A genuine follower of God is supposed to live. That's the whole idea of this upside down kingdom, is to show you how to be the servants of the Most High God in this upside down kingdom, how to live. In today's passage, Jesus challenges us by showing us how a follower of God is supposed to live in relation to money and possessions. This passage challenges us today, as with binoculars, that we must zero in our focus on that which is the most important in our lives, those things that are most important in our lives. Jesus is going to give us three areas of focus that we can focus upon today, elaborating on kingdom focus, the three areas of focus. that elaborating on a kingdom focus. Number one is focus for your heart. Number two is focus for your eyes. And number three is focus for your living. Focus on your heart, focus on your eye, and focus for your living. This passage challenges us today, as with binoculars, that we must zero in our focus on that which is the most important things, those important things in our lives. Jesus is going to give us three areas of focus that we can focus upon today, elaborating on a kingdom focus. The number one thing is focus for your heart. Focus for your heart. Number one is focus for your heart. Do not, let's look at verse 19 through 21, if we could. Verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I want you to think about that verse 21 real quick. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. See, Jesus comes right out the gate talking about worldly treasures and possessions. Jesus says, the things that we gather on this earth can be destroyed. Jesus says the things that we gather on this earth can be taken from us. They can be stolen from us. Jesus says the things that we gather on this earth have no eternal value at all whatsoever. Jesus' audience of the day would have identified greatly with this. It's a little probably better than us today, because they didn't have debit cards and savings accounts and electronic transfers. Back then, they actually had stuff. Physical, tangible property. Their precious metals could tarnish. Their fabrics could be eaten by moths. Their herds could be stolen. Their fields could be burned or suffer insect attack. These things could be taken from them. See, we experience this today, but in a different way than what they would have, right? Our possessions can be wiped away by a hurricane. One change in the housing market can decrease the value on our homes tremendously. One bad business deal can bankrupt our companies. One bad car accident can leave us without a vehicle. Our wallets can be stolen. Our laptops can have coffee spilled on them. Our phone screens can be broken. See, Jesus is pointing us out, he's pointing out that the things of this earth that we treasure are temporary. The things that of this earth that we treasure are fragile. The things of this earth that we treasure don't last. They just don't last. They have no eternal significance. Jesus first shows us the picture of the frailty of the possessions of the earth, which we are prone to treasure, the frailties of the earth that we are prone to treasure ourselves. And then Jesus gives us a picture of something much better, something much greater. Jesus says to treasure the things that are in heaven. He said, treasure the things that are in heaven. The treasures in heaven are so much better than the things of the earth. The treasures in heaven do not rust. The treasures in heaven do not spoil. The treasures in heaven cannot be stolen. The treasures in heaven cannot be replicated. The treasures in heaven cannot be faked. The treasures in heaven cannot cannot be affected by the market trends. The treasures in heaven are not affected by the price of a gallon of milk, the price of a gallon of gasoline, or the current minimum wage. The treasures in heaven are kept safer than all of the gold in Fort Knox. See, the treasures in heaven are more faithful than the morning sunrise. The treasures in heaven are more valuable than all the gold doubloons on the bottom of the Caribbean Sea. The treasures in heaven are more abundant than all the tea in China. The treasures in heaven are more satisfying than a glass of ice-cold lemonade on a desert summer day. The treasures in heaven are imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and they are kept in heaven just for you. See, yet we don't always see them as treasures. See, we are satisfied with the treasures of earth instead. See, Jesus is warning us explicitly against this. Don't make earthly possessions your treasures. Don't store up your treasures on earth. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven. See, some of us may be tempted to think that it is not okay for us to invest in things that are for our personal benefit and gain. That sounds selfish. Here's the great thing. When it's heavenly things, when we can invest all that we want for our own gain, when we gain the things that God wants us to have, now that's a good investment. See, Jesus commands us to invest in heavenly things for ourselves. See, Jesus says, he says, store up yourselves treasures in heaven. So invest in all that you want in heavenly riches. See, our heart should be devoted to heavenly things. Our heart is the center of our being. The heart is the hub of all that we should be devoted to in order to fully experience God and his way. See, focus your heart on heavenly riches by taking these steps. Pray that God would help you. Okay, pray that God would help you desire his riches. Pray that God would help you desire his riches. Search for God's riches in his word. Prioritize God's riches above the riches of the world. See, if you want to focus your heart on heavenly riches, you have to take these steps. You need to pray that God would help you desire his riches. You need to search for God's riches in his word, and you should prioritize God's riches above the riches of the world. Where is the focus of your heart? Where is the focus of your heart? See, Jesus is interested in the focus of your heart. Jesus wants us to have a kingdom focus. Focus our hearts on heavenly treasures in the upside down kingdom. Having a kingdom focus requires our hearts to be focused on Jesus. But Jesus then challenges his disciples to strengthen their focus even more in our next point. Number two, focus for your eye. Focus for your eyes. We look at verses 22 through 23. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Now this point is a bit more confusing. So let's be careful to discern what Jesus is saying here. Okay, there's a lot happening here. So why is Jesus talking about the eye? How can our bodies be full of light and darkness? Well, let's talk about that a bit. First, Jesus says, light is the lamp of the body. Well, a lamp usually provides light. In ancient culture, an oil lamp would provide enough light to see where one is going. In our context, we can think of the eye showing us where to go, as it sets the direction on where we're going. Before we can go somewhere, we look at where we are going. We see it, and then we go that way. Or we see something, and then we get it. See, if we're setting our gaze on possessions and money, we will go for possessions and money. See, remember the binoculars? We must focus on what we want to see. We must focus our eyes on Jesus and his ways. See, second, Jesus takes about, Jesus talks about our eyes being healthy and bad, healthy or bad. Well, again, it's about seeing correctly and aiming for what we want. Generally speaking, if we set our attention on bad things will come our way. See, if we set our attention on worldly things will come our way. If we set our attention on the things of God will come our way. See, Jesus is so concerned with where we set our attention and direction that Jesus says that it will affect our entire lives. Jesus says that if our eye is healthy, if we focus on good things, we will be full of light. But if our eyes are bad, if we focus on bad things, we will be full of deep darkness. Church, we want to be full of light, not full of darkness. See, we are children of the light. We must focus our spiritual eyes on the things of God, not the things of the world. We can't have our eyes going in two different directions. We are not, I want you to think about a chameleon whose eyes are all over the place. And if you look at a picture of a chameleon, I want you to look at a picture of one. We can't be spiritual chameleons. We are not spiritual chameleons. You know what a spiritual a chameleon is. And their eyes are just all over the place. We can't be spiritual chameleons. We have to have our spiritual eyes going in one direction, and they better be focused on God, or we will be full of darkness. Our eyes should be focused on God, or we will be full of darkness. We will be the godless fakers or actors or hypocrites rather than genuine followers of Jesus. See, the eye helps determine what happens in the heart. Let me say that again. See, the eye helps determine what happens in the heart. See, we must focus our eyes on the right things so that our heart will be focused on the right thing. If there's anything that's keeping us from seeing clearly with our spiritual eyes, clear it out. I want you to think about in the mornings when you wake up. After you get out of bed and you yawn and you try to look out your eyes, and you know you feel that morning gunk. I don't know, some of you may recognize what I'm talking about. The morning gunk in your eyes. You know, you have to squint a little bit and you have to put your hands there, you know, wipe it out, and you get that gunk out of your eyes because you want to see. because that gunk is affecting your ability to see. See, it's like when you wake up in the morning and you can't see clearly because you have that gunk in your eyes. You rub your eyes, you blink a few times, you clear up your eyes so that you can see clearly. So also in our spiritual eyes, we must clear out all the gunk so that we can see clearly and focus clearly on where we're going. What if we spent more time focused on where we're going rather than where we've been? What if we spent more time focused on where we're going than where we are? What's the spiritual gunk that's in your eyes that's keeping you from seeing, church? What is the spiritual gunk in your eye that's keeping you from seeing clearly where God is taking you, where God is? He wants you to get a hold of some things in your life, and he's pointing you in a direction. And you know what? God is, it's like he's grabbing your face and he's pointing you right where he wants you to go. And you know what? We got a lot of gunk in our eyes right now. Perhaps it's some friends that you have. Perhaps it's some sort of mistake or some sort of intake in your life, like television, music, or internet. Perhaps it's an improper devotion to something like possessions, politics, or power. Perhaps it's your own pride or arrogance or apathy. Perhaps it's addiction to drugs or acceptance or some sort of sexual sin in your life. Whatever it is, get the gunk out of your eyes. Get it out so you can see. See, Jesus has changed your life, so focus on him and his way. What if we focused it on Jesus and his way? What if we just spent a lot of our time getting lost in Jesus and his way? So focus on Jesus and his way, and so your eyes, set your eyes on the good. Set your eye toward God and be filled with light. See, Jesus wants us to have a kingdom focus. Having a kingdom focus requires our hearts to be focused on Jesus. Having kingdom focus requires our eyes to be focused on Jesus. And our focus finds depth in our final point, probably because it's the most visible to outsiders looking in. Is that number three, focus for your living. Focus for your living. If we look at verse 24 of chapter 6, we see that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. In some versions it says mammon. See, the verse reminds us of those wandering chameleon eyes again. See, Jesus says that you cannot serve God and money. Jesus says we cannot be devoted to two masters. See, Jesus uses the master in the sense that we are completely devoted to someone. See, you need to understand, we're not talking about slavery in the American sense here. We're talking about slavery in what would have been slavery back then. And back then, it was indentured servitude. Slavery was meant that you were in debt to someone else, and you were working that debt off. So back then, slavery was not a life-term sentence like it was here in America, but yet a job to work off a debt. So here we are talking to what Jesus is explaining here, is that you owed a debt to somebody, and now you got to work for them. So you're there to pay that off. You're there to work that off. So basically, they own your labor at that moment. They did not own your humanity, but they owned your labor. Everything we do is for their pleasure, and they have dominion over us. I'm sweating for them. I'm working for them. Jesus says that your master can either be God or your master can be money. Are you in debt to God for what he's done for you, or are you in debt to money for what you think that it's done for you? Jesus says that your master can either be God or your master can either be money. Now, many of you, the translations say mammon. You might say, what is mammon? Mammon is a Syriac term. Syriac is an ancient language used by some of the early Christians, which refers to, I want you to hear me because this is important, it refers to riches, gain, prosperity, possessions, or money. See, that expands the idea if you really think about it. So you could either God can be your master that you're indebted to, that you're willing to sweat and live for, or money can be your master. And he's in the term that they use is not necessarily just money. He says riches, gain, prosperity, possessions, or money. So it further extends what we're talking about here. That means any level of personal gain, any level of personal prosperity, any level of personal possessions or riches. See, Jesus says you cannot be completely sold out to money and be completely sold out to God. You cannot be completely sold out to money and be completely sold out to God. You can't be a good husband to two wives. You can't be a diehard fan of two college football teams. You can't have two favorite movies. You could only have one. You can't be devout in two different religions. It's not possible. You cannot be devoted, and you cannot love two masters. Jesus says that something's got to give. Who you with? Something's got to give. You will love the one and hate the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We must be focused in on our living. We must live for God. We must be devoted to God and his good gifts. We must store up our treasures in heaven. We must have our eyes set on the things of light, not the things of darkness, not the things of this world, not the riches of this world. He says, you know what? He said, where your heart is, where is your heart? See, Jesus wants us to have a kingdom focus. Having a kingdom focus requires our hearts to be focused on Jesus. Having a kingdom focus requires our eyes to also be focused on Jesus. But our focus, we also must have our lives must be focused on Jesus. See, I believe the implications for the devotion of our hearts, the direction of our eyes, and the way we live go far beyond money. However, Jesus is explicitly talking about money and possessions in this passage. We can't ignore that Jesus is explicitly talking about money and possessions in this passage. The idea of him talking about it is that money and possessions do seem to have a unique hold on many of us. This goes back to our challenging thought that hits us each week as we're studying through the Sermon on the Mount, is that who or what has our hearts? What are we focused on? See, a kingdom focus is specific. That means we are focusing on the treasures that we have in heaven, and we are investing all of our time, resources, energy, and the special moments, our families, and everything in those treasures in heaven, not in the earthly possessions that we can gain. Does that mean we don't have any, we give away everything that we have? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that everything that we get, everything that we have, we'll even focus that on the kingdom riches that are available to us. So our possessions are even focused in. He's not saying give away everything that you have. What he's saying here is that everything you have belongs to God. And we must focus in on our heavenly treasures. Now, let me give you a perfect example. See, golf legend and immortal Arnold Palmer recalls a lesson about overconfidence. He said it was in the final hole of the 1961 Masters tournament, and Palmer had one stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. Palmer felt that he was in pretty good shape, and he approached his ball. As he approached his ball, Palmer saw an old friend standing at the edge of the gallery, and he motioned Palmer over. He stuck out his hand and said, "Congratulations." Palmer took his hand and he shook it, but as soon as he did, he knew that he had lost his focus. See, on the next two shots, he hit the ball into a sand trap and then put it over the edge of the green. Palmer missed a putt and lost the Masters. See, in his own words, he said, you don't forget a mistake like that. You don't forget losing your focus in that moment. But you do learn from it and become determined that you will never do that again. See, Palmer hasn't lost his focus like that in over 30 years because he learned in that moment, he learned in this time and in making that mistake that it cost him. See, who or what has our focus? See, the challenge here in this passage is not to get you just to give up everything and to just be poor and not do anything and focus your eyes on where the Lord has you to go. That's not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is that what has your heart? What has your focus? And if money has your heart, then God doesn't. But if God has your heart, guess what? Money doesn't. You cannot be completely sold out to both. But you know what? You can focus your heart and your eyes and your lives on the prize that is in Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, he says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." See, we must catch this, church. Money is not evil. See, it says the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. So money itself is a gift of God. See, we collect money every week at our church. So we're not collecting something that's evil, at least not on purpose. See, money can be used for the glory of God. See, go out there and get as much money as you can and use it for the glory of God. Use it to buy things that glorify God. Give it away to those in need. Give it to a church that seeks to glorify God and attain the vision worthy of giving towards. See, I make no apologies for asking you to give to our church and to our vision because I believe that it's making an investment in the kingdom of God. This upside down kingdom of Christ, I believe this makes us greater servants. And you are storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven as you give to God's vision, as you give to God's ministry, as you give to minister to the community in which we've been given. Make more of an investment. Store up more treasures. Give so we can feed the poor families of the Imperial Valley. Give so we can bless our community. Give so we can take the gospel all over the world. Give so we can maintain the wonderful facilities in which God has blessed us with. Give so we can employ and bless a healthy church staff. Give so we can meet the needs that we have in our building, in our worship, and in our outreach. Give so we can reach new people and continue to grow. Give so we can develop disciples who love God, love the church, and love others. See, there are other ways that we can store up treasures in heaven. Here's the key. We must be focused on God and His way first and foremost. We must be focused on God and His way first and foremost. See, if we're so focused on other things that we're missing out on what we should be focused on. We can't see the vision that God has given us as Christians and as churches because we're too focused on trying to achieve the American dream and achieving some conjured up version of what it means to be successful. See, what we can't see that sacrifices are better than selfishness. We can't see that generosity is better than greed. See, we can't see that heaven's promises are better than hoarding our possessions. See, we must refocus our hearts, our eyes, and our lives. We must focus on the riches of God. That's our bottom line this week, ladies and gentlemen. Focus on the riches found in God. See, Jesus is not instructing us this way in this passage because he wants to punish us. I need you to hear me, because a lot of people get this messed up. Jesus doesn't want us to miss out on the riches in heaven. Jesus wants us to see what true riches are. Jesus wants us to see that love is better. Peace is better. Grace is better. Forgiveness is better. And best of all, is adoption to the family of God, made possible by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is showing us something better. That's what the upside down kingdom is all about. It's about a victorious Christian life. A victorious Christian life. I'm done. But I want you to think about something for a moment. If I could challenge you here, is that do we truly understand that Jesus is better? Have we truly embraced that Jesus is better? See, somebody out there right now who's on Facebook, either you're listening to this now or you're listening to this later, which is perfectly fine one way or the other. I want to encourage you. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You have not placed your